and things that we use here in the class, and I want to take the time to thank those that did bring, and we appreciate the generosity, and I want to thank you. I'd also like to thank those people who have a tendency to come early and help me set up the class and schlep all the food in. I really appreciate your help, and I don't want the evening to go by without thanking you publicly for helping like you do. Lynn and I had a wonderful time in Florida. The weather was perfect, and would like to tell you that it's really nice to be back.
It's nice to have you back.
Thank you. Thanks. Please take your cell phones and silence them if you wouldn't mind, please. I'd appreciate it. So would everybody else. Okay. I want to wish everybody a good Erev Shabbos, a good Shabbos, and would like to thank Young Israel once again, not only for allowing us to have our classes here with Rav Soloveitchik, but even when Lynn and I are gone, this synagogue is not only generous by allowing us to have the class here, but the class continues, here, even while we're gone on our vacations. So yeah. I would like to express our gratitude, Rabbi Berger, for the generosity, and I'd like to thank you personally for doing that for all of us. We're going to be davening Marav just a few minutes after class. Please, gentlemen, don't run out. Please stay and help us make the minyan. We'd really appreciate it very much.
No class next week. It's Purim.
We have Purim next week, so there's no class. And in case you don't know it, we're fleshing tonight. So no class next week. Have a freilich of Purim, everyone. Okay.
Okay. All right, and I was thinking actually a couple minutes ago what to speak about. It's Parsha Zachar, it's Purim, and of course it's Parsha Vayikra. And the question was how to deal with the joining of Amalek together with Parsha Vayikra. And I found something it's very interesting when you take a look at Parshas Bishalach, which is what we're going to lay on Purim. So Parshas Bishalach, after the Amalek is defeated, and Amalek is defeated, why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is mispalel, he davens v'haya kasher yarim Moshe yado v'gava Yisrael. When his hands were up in the air, so the people realized that their victory was because of the tefillah, of the davening. So, v'gavra Yisrael, and it's interesting. Now, really, in all wars, there is a special Indian of tefillah, of davening. But specifically in regard to Amalek, more than any other nation, is it that way? Matter of fact, Rashi in Brachas talks about David going to war, so he told the people to go check with the Sanhedrin. And Rashi says, why? He says, to be mispalo. And there it's talking about a gedud amaleki. The war was, the Gemara doesn't mention it, but if you look up the Psukim of the Nevi'im, there was a group of Amalekite soldiers who David was, so again, there was an emphasis So there is an emphasis whenever we go to war. So there is an inyan of tefillah going to war, but specifically in regard to Amalek, because Amalek's war is not just against the Jewish people. Amalek's war is against God. Amalek's war is against God. And we find that God said, "A yomer ki yadol kes kav," God's hand lies on his throne. There are a number of possible explanations of this pasuk, but I'm explaining one of the ways. God's hand, that's a sign of oath. Milchama l'Hashem ba'amolek midor dor. Case is really, it's the word kisei. Throne, seat, but the word is not complete. And kiyad al case ka, milchama l'Hashem, v'yikra shema l'Hashem nisi, v'yom kiyad al case ka, milchama l'Hashem midor dor. So Chazal, our sages tell us, ein shmi shalem, God said, my name is not complete, and my kisei is not complete until ka is part of God's name. It's not God's complete name. So it's part of God's name. My name is not complete, and my kisei, my throne, is not complete until Amalek is no longer a factor in this world. So why? Not because God said so, and God is demanding it. Those are the facts. The facts are that Amalek will never stand for the recognition of God. The name, when we say name being not complete, the name of God is not complete, means the world will not recognize God, and my kisei, my seat, my throne is not complete. Matter of fact, I saw a very interesting explanation years ago in the Rogachev. I've mentioned it here before. He says, really, what Amalek did, the word was keshka, the throne of God. And Amalek came and separated the case from the ka. He separated the throne from God. And according to what the Rogachev is saying, it's not that Amalek is against the recognition of God, but what Amalek doesn't want is God to be king. That is what Amalek is opposed. Amalek wants to separate the case, the throne, from God. In other words, it should be case call, one word. And Amalek came, this is what the Rogachev writes, and separated the case, the throne, from God. So, in other words, Amalek was determined that non-recognition of God as king. And in a sense, but he knew how will the world come to recognize God and to recognize specifically God as king. That will be through the Jewish people. So that's why he attacked the Jewish people. But it wasn't just against the Jews per se, but it was a war against God. So what is Moshe's response? Therefore, here tefillah, prayer, plays a very big role, because it's to emphasize that it's God's role. It's not enough for Moshe to pray. The Jewish people had to recognize the role that God played in fighting the war against Amalek. As a matter of fact, it's very interesting. If you look in the Mechilta says, "Bechar lanu anashim," choose for us people. So the Mechilta says that has a number of opinions. Rashi says, Giborim, on one hand, we want them to be strong people. But also the Yirechet, people who are scared to sin, the people who are constantly on guard against sinning. Now, the question is, this is a Mochemes Mitzvah. It's a war a war of mitzvah, and the halacha is a war of mitzvah as opposed to a voluntary war. The Mishnah in Sota says hakol yotzin, everybody goes out. So certainly somebody, even if somebody is a sinner, he also has to go fight the war. For some reason, by Mechemes Amalek, by the first war of Amalek, no. Yes, we want Deborim, we want strong soldiers, but they have to be Yerichet also. Why? Because in order to emphasize that the war was a war against God. So it wasn't just a personal war between the Jewish people and Amalek. People who are, in a sense, have a very religious personality that are on guard against sinning, they were the ones who had to be the soldiers. So, and that's why prayers, while prayer is important by every war, specifically by Amalek, because Amalek's war is against God. And it's interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu, immediately afterwards, Vayiven Moshe Mizbeach Vayikra Shemo Hashem Nisi, he made an altar and he called it God as my miracle. Now, what's interesting is he doesn't talk here about the Karbanos, whether Moshe Rabbeinu gave Karbanos on that altar or didn't give Karbanos, gave sacrifices on the altar. There is no mention of the sacrifices here. What is mentioned is that Moshe Rabbeinu built an altar, but the Torah does not emphasize the point. Now, this is to be contrasted with the Haftorah of Parsha Zachar, because in the Haftorah of Parsha Zachar, Shaul does not listen to all the details of the command. Shaul was told to kill the tzon, the cattle, also, and he doesn't. I fulfilled the words of God. So Vayomer Shmuel, ma kol hatzon. So Shmuel says, what is the sound of the sheep in my ears? I told you to kill all the sheep also. Hazeh ba'aznai, v'kol ha'bokar shernochi shomeya. And what is the sound of the cattle that I hear? So Shaul says, v'yom v'shaul ma'amoleki hebiyim, we brought him from Amalek, asher chomal ha'am, because the people took pity. Now, chamalam, the pity is a bad word for translation here. I guess they couldn't find a better word. But, it's basically that people felt it's a shame to get rid of. I know. It's a waste. It wasn't that they were members of PETA. Asher chamalam, in other words, why should we waste it? We could use it for good in order to slaughter them to Hashem. We want to use them for karbanos. So, we have, on one hand, Moshe builds an altar after his battle against Amalek. No emphasis in the Torah about the sacrifices, just the building of the altar. Perhaps he did give sacrifices. And he said, it's called Hashem Nisi, God is my miracle. And then here in Shaul, Shaul gives it says, we save this to give sacrifices to God. And so then Shmuel says, he says that God is not interested in the karbanos and the sacrifice that you're giving, but God is interested in obedience to the voice of Hashem. Now, what is going on here, and especially this contrast? And perhaps Shaul's rationalization was, hey, I'm trying to imitate. Okay, the Gemara mentions he made some kind of Kal Vachomer, but in the sense, he's trying to imitate what Moshe Rabbeinu did after his war. So he's, in a certain sense, trying to follow in the footsteps of Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course, but whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, on the contrary, was an act of submission to God, in his case, it wasn't an act of submission to God. So how are we to understand it? Now, in the past, I've discussed the dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban. It's one of the strangest Rambams in Moreh Nevuchim. The Ramban attacks the Rambam. The question is, what is the purpose of korbanos? What is the purpose of sacrifices? And the Rambam seems to feel that sacrifices is a lower form of service. The higher form of service is prayer. Sacrifices was a lower form of service. So then the question is, so why do we have all of Chumash Vayikra? The talks about the different sacrifices. 1/5 of the Torah. Okay, Vayikra could be a small Chumash. But 1/5 of the Torah is talking about sacrifices. What do we have it for? So the Rambam says something that everybody rose up against him in their commentaries. The Rambam says that God knew that the people had this drive. There was like a drive for sacrifices. And if God did not provide for sacrifices at that time, so then the people, because of this drive, would have gone over to the idolatrous religions that did provide for sacrifices. So because of that, the Torah instructed the Jewish people to give sacrifices, different sacrifices on different occasions, whatever it might be. So all the commentaries rise up against the Rambam. What's going on here? He says, Adam gave sacrifices. Cain and Hevel, they gave sacrifices. Noach gave sacrifices. And what about the patriarchs? They gave sacrifices. So was there a fear that they would go over to the other religions? And not only that, from Noah it appears that God said to him to keep the animals that could be sacrificed, to keep more animals, so in order that they should be sacrificed. It was almost like a command that he was received from God. And it was Vayarach Hashem Esreach HaNichoach, and the Torah says God smelled the sweet smell of Noah's sacrifices. So it seems to have a positive attitude to sacrifices. It wasn't only an accommodation because of the state that man was at the time of the giving of the Torah. So at that time, now the question is, what is the problem with sacrifices? I wanted to suggest that the problem with sacrifices, since most sacrifices were animal sacrifices, there were other sacrifices also, but most sacrifices were animal sacrifices. And sacrifices had the appearance, sacrifices had the appearance that we're trying to feed God. We're trying to feed God. You take food, you take whatever food it might be, whether it's animal sacrifices or vegetative sacrifices, whatever it is, fruit, whatever it is, and you put it on the altar, and it's sort of, we're giving it to God. We're serving a meal to God. Now, that's heretical. It's against the whole concept of the Torah. It attributes almost a physical dimension to God. So because of that, because of the danger of sacrifices, the nature of the danger of sacrifices, in theory, there should have been a negative attitude towards sacrifices. Now, in the time of Adam, and in the time of Noah, till after he gave his sacrifices, man was not allowed to eat meat. Man was not allowed to eat meat. So when you gave animal sacrifices, and that was the main form of sacrifices, not that there weren't other sacrifices, there were other sacrifices, it did not have the appearance of feeding God, because animal flesh was not viewed on a higher level as food. It was not viewed on a higher level as being food. So there was no problem in the early part of the history of mankind in giving sacrifices. However, after Noah gave his sacrifice, and only after he gave his sacrifice, at that point, if you take a look at the Torah, God allowed man, perhaps because he became weaker, whatever the reason is, God allowed man to eat from the sacrifices, to eat meat. At this point, a danger arises regarding sacrifices, because meat is now perceived as being food. And since the major form of sacrifice was the giving, the putting of meat on the altar, it had the impression that we are feeding God. So then the question is, why did the patriarchs give sacrifices? Why did the patriarchs give sacrifices? Now my uncle, not discussing the Rambam, I've mentioned this before, not discussing the Rambam, he says an interesting thought. He says, until the Akedah, until the binding of Isaac, the Torah does not tell us about Avram, Abraham, giving sacrifices. It only tells us about Abraham building an altar, building a Mizbeach. So the question is, what was the purpose of the altar? What was the purpose of the altar if he didn't give a sacrifice? What is the purpose, of going to a library if you're not going to read books? The whole purpose of the altar, on the contrary, it's because at that time the idolatrous nations were giving sacrifices, and their perception was one of feeding God, of making God feel good, thinking that if they make God feel good, God will be nice to them. They'll be nice to God, God will be nice to them. So they wanted it, and of course they sacrificed animals, they sacrificed everything, and they sacrificed their children also. They were feeding their children to God sometimes. But what was the idea? The idea was what was the purpose? Abraham made so many altars. What was the purpose of the altar? And the answer is on the contrary. By not putting animals on the altar, by not putting food on the altar, he was showing that he was giving himself over to God. That he was giving himself over to God. He wasn't feeding God. The altar was made to say, I am not feeding God. I am giving myself over to God. But in giving himself over to God, he didn't have to kill himself. He gave himself over to God by the way he acted. We sanctify. Sanctification in God's name can be done by giving one's life over to God, as sometimes happens, and sometimes by living in God's name. So But so this was sort of like a symbol of giving himself over to God. Then what happened at the Akedah, the binding of Isaac? At the binding of Isaac, so Isaac is put on the altar. In a sense, it represents the idea of giving oneself over to God. But in place of that, a ram is put in. In other words, the lesson that was learned from that is that the animal is only a symbol. The animal is only a symbol. It's the fact that I'm giving myself over to God. And the Likutei Torah of the Baal HaTanya says this very in the first pasuk of this week's Sedra. Vayikra Moshe, God spoke to Moshe. Vayikra Moed Lemor. Daber al Bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel. Vayamarta Lehem, and you'll say to them, Adam ki yakrev miken karban la Hashem. When a man among you, this is the simple explanation, when a man among you brings an offer to Hashem from animals, from the cattle or from the flock, shall you bring your offering. Baal Tanya says you can read the pasuk a little differently. You can read the verse a little different. Adam, a person, ki yakrev miken, when you give from yourself, when you give from yourself to God, how do you do it? You do it with the animals that you'll put on the altar. But the animals are just a symbol of giving oneself over to God. And that was the lesson of the Akedah. So at that point, the karbanos, the sacrifices, are beginning. Since there is a new perspective of sacrifice, so the sacrifice of the animals, of sacrificing the animals, once Avraham Avinu understood the concept of sacrifice, that the animal is only the symbol, it's the external manifestation of the giving of oneself, then sacrifices were permitted. That's why the Navi constantly screams at the Jewish people, who asks this of you? Constantly the prophet says, I don't want your sacrifices. You don't want our sacrifices. Why do you give a chumash vayikra for? The answer is, I don't want the sacrifices if it's just the animals, if you just give me a present, if you're just trying to serve me food. I don't need dinner. God doesn't need to eat. Chas v'shalom. But God, what God wants is the giving oneself. But sometimes when we go, and perhaps it could be understood along these type of lines, the word karban, as all the profession point out, is karet, coming close. You go to see somebody, sometimes you bring something along. It helps. The use of animal sacrifice was only for man to be able to feel that he was closer to God. But God didn't need, and that's what the Torah says. I mentioned the Al-Shech all the time. The Al-Shech says, why is it that God accepted the sacrifice of Hevel and rejected the sacrifice of Cain? Cain gave God a sacrifice. Hevel, Hevi, Gamhu, make Chorostono. Simple explanation, he also brought the sacrifice from his son, from his sheep. But the pasuk that first could be read, Hevi, Gamhu, together with the sheep he brought himself. Together with the sheep he brought himself, Gamhu. So this is the giving over. The giving over of oneself to God. And that's, how do we recognize Malchus, God, as king? How do we recognize God as king? We have a law, Dina de Malchus Adina. The law of the land is the law. By the way, though, no one should get any ideas. This is limited to economic laws, and even there it's somewhat limited. I know people, some fool made it a statement in regard to laws that have nothing to do nothing to do with economic things, speaking the name of some whatever, and saying that the law of the land is the law. That's nonsense. Just because, if a country makes a law allowing murder, you can't say, oh, the law of the land is the law, you know. Or there are certain limitations. There are certain limitations about it, you know. But in economic areas with limitations, again I add, with limitations, we say dina malchusa dina, the law of the land is the law. Why? And all kinds of explanations are given for it, but one of the explanations given for it is because when you have a king, the people belong to the king. So kingship manifests itself in the fact that we belong to him. So when we proclaim God as king, when we take the car and the case together and put it together, we, in a sense, we are recognizing God as king. That's giving ourselves over to God. So the Torah wants to emphasize that point. So whether Moshe gave sacrifices on the altar or he didn't give sacrifices on the altar, I don't know. But the Torah only emphasizes the altar, the building of the altar, because that's what the Avos did, the patriarchs. Why did they build an altar? They didn't give korbanos till the Akedah, when a new perception of sacrifice was revealed. But they gave themselves over. And Amalek wanted to separate. Amalek was determined to separate the throne from God. So Moshe reacts and he builds an altar. Doesn't talk whether he gave sacrifices. Hashem Nisi, God is my miracle. And then Shaul, on the contrary, the emphasis is on the sacrifices he gave. Because in a sense, Shaul, by deviating from the command of God, in a sense, and especially in a war against Amalek, this was an error that he made, because that was not a demonstration of God being king. So because of that, the Navi emphasizes the sacrifices that he gave. So this is what God says. Shmuel told him, God is not interested in the sacrifices. What is God interested in? In submitting to him, in recognizing him as the king of the world.
My burger, have a good ear of Shabbos. We're going to be, please clean off the tables, leave the tablecloths on, and in a couple of minutes, we're going to dive in tomorrow.